mad about Bollywood, so they hate the Indian, India, but they love all their haram things. Unfortunately, this is our condition. We say to non-Muslims that how they are treating us, whether it is any part of the world, any nation. And at this point also, let us remember, no country is our enemy, no people are our enemy. Our worst enemy is our sin. Our sin, because of that, Allah uses a certain country to punish us. Allah uses a certain nation to punish us. It's on account of our sins. Our worst enemy, our sins. And today we are filled with sins. Our lifestyle, our way of eating, our way of dressing, everything is like the non-believers. How can we expect the nusrat and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if we try and bring one sunnah, and one sunnah it will bring, it will put in another sunnah into our life. And sunnahs will pull in the faraiz also. By the benefit of sunnahs, our aqidah will also be corrected, our beliefs. Our faraiz and our ibadat will come in order. Our mu'amalat, our business dealings, our mu'ashara, our social life will come in order. So try and control. We underestimate sunnah. We think the thing is sunnah, so it's not important. But the sunnah is the great value and power by Allah Ta'ala, which Allah loves, and on the market of that Allah brings the whole of deen. And sunnahs are very easy. For example, one sunnah I will mention, in which in fact there are six sunnahs I will mention. And that is the sunnah of drinking water. We all have to drink water. If you are not drinking sufficient water, your doctor will tell you, you must drink more water. Yeah, you need to drink 6 to 8 glasses of water a day. And we drink water. Non-Muslims also drink water. Animals also drink water. But the difference is, if we will drink the water according to sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So a few sunnahs I will mention. First one, sit when you drink. And there are so many benefits, I don't want to go into the details, but just here and there I'll mention a few. If a person stands and drinks, which is the way of the non-Muslims, and it has become common with us, we find our youngsters, the can of Coke in the one hand, and a burger in the other hand, and not only standing, walking, and moving around. Today, buffet style, dawahs, etc., where you walk, stand and eat, you pick up there and stand and eat. This all is very, very harmful. Well, drinking water while standing is very harmful for the kidneys. And a person whose kidneys fail and is on dialysis, that person just sees mort in front of him. If he's not going to die tomorrow, the next day, if not this week, next week, he sees mort in front of him. How we have been saved from that major problem. And kidney failure is becoming common. And one of the reasons that we stand when we drink water, whatever else we have. So we should sit, and that is a dignified way. It shows a person also is a dignified person, not a raw, wild, uncultured person who is standing and drinking. It shows dignity of a person. The second is, take the glass in your right hand. Don't drink from the left hand. Even if we are eating, don't drink from the left hand. Yeah, again, it's not detail that is required, but unfortunately we don't have the time to go into all that detail. I'll try and be as brief as possible that today nobody can deny the effects of radiation. Cell phones has radiation, and why we are on that? That there was an article in the Arab News that never ever speak on the cell phone from the right ear. It's very harmful. It's much less, it is harmful, but much less. Keep it on the left ear. And many, many of us, we keep our cell phone in the pocket here on top. That is right by your heart. And the negative radiation affects the heart. Many of us, when we sleep, cell phone is under the pillow. It's affecting your brain. Try and keep it a little bit away. Put it down on the floor where it doesn't directly affect you. So there is radiation. And Hindu scientists of India researched and found that Kaaba Sharif, there is radiation of Kaaba Sharif throughout the world, all four sides. And positive radiation, goodness is being radiated from the Kaaba Sharif. And when you counter that positive radiation with a negative radiation, then you suffer great harm. Like you do your toilet, whether you're outside somewhere or in your house, your toilet is facing Kaaba, Qibla, or the bed you are facing Qibla, or when you're sleeping, your legs are facing Qibla. This is that negative radiation which is going against the positive, and this causes great problems in our lives. Like many of us today, unfortunately, perhaps there is a Muslim house without a TV. The TV is there, and on top of the TV, Asma'ul Husna, the 99 names of Allah, beautifully in gold is there on top. Or Ayatul Kursi is written so beautifully. And what naked pictures come on that TV, what filth and dirt come on that TV, that positive radiation and negative radiation, this clashes and this causes problems. We have endless problems in the house, husband and wife not agreeing, fights in the house, parents and children not agreeing, all the time fighting, illnesses that are coming about, financial problems, all this negative radiation which no x-ray machine can pick up, which no sauna can pick up, no, nothing can pick it up. You go by armies, they say nothing is wrong with you, it is this negative. So our right hand is positive radiation. So drink and eat with the right hand, don't eat and drink with the left hand. Even when we are eating and we want to drink water, don't take the glass in the left hand. Okay? Just lick your fingers, take the glass. You are worried of the dirt of the glass, but you are not worried of breaking the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That sunnah is much more important. So keep that in mind. Second sunnah, take the glass in the right hand. The third sunnah, say Bismillah before drinking. Today, very, very sadly, take notice, please. Whether we're eating at home, wherever, and we eating somewhere else, most of us, we forget to say Bismillah. Right? We just take and we start eating, we don't say Bismillah. Drinking water, say Bismillah. It is such a great one. A Japanese scientist has traveled in Pakistan, and he explained to the people a number of things. One of the things he says is glass of water, ordinary tap water. If you look at it under the microscope, you see the molecules have all its composition. He said, you just read any ayat of the Quran, you just read Bismillah on this water, and you see the whole composition changes. And in this water, he said, whole glass of water, one drop of zamzam makes that whole water like zamzam. He transfers it and makes it like zamzam. So we should read Bismillah at least before we drink. The fourthly, look in the glass and drink. From here again, I will just explain one or two things. Drinking in the scolding cans, etc., is very harmful. One American lady, non-Muslim woman, a few years ago, went boating, or on the boat, traveling, and she took Coca-Cola cans with her to drink her cold drink, and she drank from the can. She became so ill, she was put in ICU, and in a few days she died. When they did the autopsy, and they said what was the cause of death, on the top of that can, there was rat and mice urine. These cans are stored in warehouses, storerooms, where they are transported in trucks, etc. And they are rats and mice, definitely, especially in storerooms, warehouses, and their urine was on top. That urine, she just drank from there, and that urine went into her stomach, and the very, very poisonous chemicals in our urine also. Rats and mice urine has got terrible chemicals, poisonous chemicals. So she died of that. We are taught to drink from a vessel, a glass that is open. You can see what is inside. One time, a Tablighi Jamaat, for some reason in South America, had to eat at a restaurant. While they were eating, every time they drank, they would look in the glass and then drink. So the owner of the restaurant, he came to them, he asked them, why do you people do this? What's the reason? So they said, it was sunnah, we are taught, it's the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said that just last week, a young girl ate in his restaurant, and she drank water, and there was some dirt. She became so ill, it took them so long to diagnose what was the problem. And after they diagnosed, the treatment was so long also. And he said, your Nabi has taught you to cut that whole problem from the root. That you look inside, you see there is no dirt, you can see properly. And when you drink from a closed can, you don't know what is inside. You drink from a cold drink bottle, especially the dark bottles which are dark. You don't know what is inside. In South Africa, it's not long ago, maybe 8-10 years ago at the most, Coca-Cola company was found that in the Coca-Cola can there was cockroach that was inside. And the person drank and the cockroach came in his mouth. So, and cockroach is very, very poisonous. Therefore, we try and get rid of cockroaches from the kitchen. Like that it is, but if you happen to eat a cockroach, it's very poisonous. So, but our sunnah has taught us that you see what you are eating. Don't be in the dark of what you are drinking, eating. So that is also one sunnah, the fourth sunnah. The first one, that don't drink cold the water. Drink in sups. Minimum 3 sups. At one time, 1 sup, 1 sup. Drink in 3 sups. You want to drink a whole liter of water, also no problem. Drink in 10 sups, 20 sups. But don't try and gulp. We don't need our name in Guinness Book of Records. That this person drank whole liter of coke, 1 liter of water, 2 liters in 1 gulp. We are not camels, that we, like animals, we gulp down water. Sipping and drinking. And this also, by gulping water, many of us, when we are like thirsty, or with friends to show off, we just take it, we just gulp the water. Very, very harmful for the kidneys. That's also a major cause of kidney failure. Also, we must be aware, if a person is dehydrated, say he was in the desert for a certain number of years or days, and he has nothing to eat, drink, and is completely dehydrated, the first thing they will give him is water. But not water, not drop by drop, that also his body cannot take. The water is made wet with a cloth, and that cloth he puts in the mouth and he sucks that water. Slowly, slowly he comes right again. It will take time, but if you try and give him a sup of water, you kill him immediately. His body can't take it. So this also, so the gulping of the water is very, very harmful also. And then at least at the end, the 6 sunnah, I'm just mentioning, there are more, I'm mentioning 6, is to say at least say Alhamdulillah. And if we can read the whole dua, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي سَقَانِ عَرْضًا فُرَاتًا بِرَحْمَتِهِ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْهُ مِلْحًا أُجَاجًا بِذُنُوبِنَا. Well, this dua will make you a wali of Allah. Any one dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we read it, what's the meaning and is in mind? Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي سَقَانِ. All praise due to Allah who gave me to drink. And remember, water is whatever you drink, but especially water. How many of us in the month of Ramadan, you are thirsty? After Taraweeh, you are lying on your bed, you are drinking. You want ice cream, your thirst is not gone. You drink juice, your thirst is not gone. You drink and one glass of cold drink. When you drink water, you say, Alhamdulillah. Now you feel satisfied. And why it is? From the start, just drink water. Cut out all the juice and cut out all the ice cream and all the cold drink. Just drink water and see what satisfaction. And Allah gave you that water. Azban, puratan, sweet, palatable water. If this water is salty water, like sea water, if the water is like some well, where the water comes out bitter, Allah gave us the sweet. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْهُ مِلْحًا أُجَاجًا. And Allah didn't make it salty, because of our gunnah. If Allah had made this water salty and bitter, how should we enjoy it? But how we enjoy the water. So at least, if we can't drink the whole world, learn it. And many of us know it, but ask ourselves, who reads it? After drinking water, who says Alhamdulillah? After eating, who says Alhamdulillah? These are basic things. So, in the sunnah of drinking water, one is Bismillah, such a thing. And take a glass in your right hand. Say Bismillah, look in the glass, four. Drink at least in 3 sups, 5. And at least say Alhamdulillah at the end. When we all try, inshallah. But unfortunately, our nature is that before the end of the bayan, we even forgot what was mentioned at the beginning. When Allah gave me the opportunity to translate for our Buzurgs, One important point that it learned in doing a good translation and a correct translation was that don't take enjoyment of the subject. Concentrate what is being said. You have it's your responsibility. What the speaker has said, you must again relate it. And remember the starting point. And as you mentioned the starting point, and as the speaker went on to the next point, you will remember the third point, the fourth point. Like that, for 1 hour you can translate and you'll mention everything that person told. So like that also, our starting point is sunnah. When we come towards the end, most of us will have forgotten. And if we didn't forget in the masjid, by the minute we go, we wear our shoes, we go outside, we start talking with one another. How are you? A long time, I haven't seen you. Everything is forgotten. Whereas the correct thing is, we should take this, keep it in our hearts and minds. Take it home and go and discuss it at home. That this was, if the wife also heard the bayan, if it's being relayed, make a discussion. And then see how much you benefit. Tomorrow discuss it again with your friends. Discuss it about the 10 people. Then you see it will sink into you. But this we don't worry. All our dunya shop things, that we keep proper check of everything. But deen is a binary thing, it's not an important thing for us. May Allah give us topic to understand deen is the most important. And sunnahs are extremely valuable. I try to explain the value of sunnahs briefly, and this one sunnah of drinking water, in which there are 6 sunnahs. The ayat of the Quran Sharif are recited. Allah Ta'ala compares 2 types of people in these few ayahs here. The first is that person, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. What do you think of that person whose heart we have opened up for Islam? He is happy, I mean, Muslim. And in fact, by زُبَانِ heart, that is his condition, his attitude, he says, رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا I'm so happy, Allah is my Rabb. Hey, that my Rabb, I just say, one that I believe in, who created me, who controls my life, who gives me all my things. Now the guy is not some idol, it's not some tree, it's not the ancestor. It is Allah Rabbul Izzat who created me. And Allah is my father, I'm so happy. What is Islam in Deena? And that Islam is my religion, the best religion, the most balanced religion, the most perfect religion. The religion of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you feel so happy about it. وَبِي سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدْ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam رَسُولَهُ وَنَبِيَّا. And that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my Rasul and my Nabi. What a magnanimous, what a great, honorable Nabi Allah Ta'ala has blessed me. So that person whose heart Allah has opened for this. Compared to that person, which after a few ayahs Allah says, أَفَمَنْ يَسْتَقِي بِوَجْهِهِ سُوءَ الْأَذَىٰ. That person who tries and saves his face from a terrible punishment. Well, we know normally human nature is like without thinking. If somebody comes and he wants to hit you, the first thing, without thinking, your hand goes up to protect your face. The most valuable place the person is his face. That he tries to protect the most. Everything, you try and push the person away, he mustn't come on your face. But in Jahannam, your hands will be fastened behind your back. Now the azab is coming. Snakes are coming to attack you, scorpions are coming, crocodiles are coming, hippos are coming, fire is coming, trucks are coming towards you, mountain is falling on you, all that azab, and your hands are fastened. You can't. And with your face you're trying to save yourself from the azab. How can you save yourself? So that person whose heart is open for Islam, and he enjoys, and he'll be going to Jannah and the madness of Jannah. Can he ever be compared with this person who is in this terrible condition that wants to save himself from the azab, the punishment, with his face? With your hands you could still try and push away that snake, or you try and push away something, but your hands are fastened behind your back. You can't use your hands. You just with your face you're trying to save yourself. Where can they be? And see, this is Quran Sharif. What? There is no literature like the Quran Sharif. Many also, I read a little bit. Unfortunately, this is becoming a common disease, not only among generally the Muslims, among the good people. That we are reading a lot of the non-Muslim things, especially with the internet. We are Googling this, we are Googling that. We got no time to read Quran Sharif. One person told Manana Sareen Bharat Sahib, Dhamma Sarakasam of the UK, one of his muris wrote to him and told him that, Hazrat, I don't get time to read Quran Sharif. What a beautiful reply he gave. He said, it's not that you don't get time, the problem is the importance and value of Quran is not in your heart. Today the value of a newspaper is in our heart. We read the news, everyone got time. To go toilet, you say, who can say, I haven't got time to go toilet? Everyone has to go to the toilet. And you have to take out time to go to the toilet. Those who are smokers, for smoking, they take out time for smoking. Hey, no matter what, where they are, what they are. Hey, we see that, for example, they're traveling by plane, not allowed to smoke. But the minute they get the chance somewhere, they take out the time and they smoke. So for Quran Sharif, if the value of Quran was in our heart, then we will take out time to read Quran Sharif. Wherever we will get time, we will take out time. But unfortunately today, ask ourselves, today was the day of Juma, a day when we have to increase all our ibadah. Who read Quran Sharif today? Who read Surah Kahf today? Who read Durood Sharif today? And Durood Sharif is to be read every day, Salawat and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On Juma it is supposed to be increased. How much? This is our weakness on the basis of this. And then we wonder where all the problems are coming from. Why we are being targeted? Why we are having difficult times? Our need is still very, very weak. So anyway, Allah says, that person whose heart we have opened for Islam. When this ayat was said, فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ بِرَبِّهِ. Then so how did his heart become open for Islam? Allah put Allah's noor into his heart. So when the noor comes into the heart, a person's heart opens up for Islam. He sees the truthfulness of Islam. He's 100% convinced. How many times? Rebirth. Hey, how they, when Allah has put that noor, they become much better Muslims than us. Overnight they become much more stronger Muslims because that noor has entered. So whether we are born Muslims, whether we are rebirth, the necessity is that this noor must come into our heart. And why I am giving this bayan? For me and for us all to assess and see whether that noor has come into our heart. When this ayat was revealed, now if I give the whole bayan, we all will accept and mashallah will make some comments about the bayan. End of this story. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were not like that. They questioned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, oh Allah, Rasul, how can we know that the noor of Islam has come into the heart? It's a spiritual thing. It's an express thing. It's not something physical like you getting $10,000 in your bank account. Or you are seeing your motor car with your eyes, there's my motor car. This is an express thing. You can't see it, but it has come in the heart. And so a person whose heart, Allah has opened, and that person is that person that the noor of Allah is coming into his heart. How will he know? Our Shaykh Jazahullah Khair said so beautifully that if the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala had not asked that question, then today we should have perhaps interpreted it wrongly. And today also we should understand many people are interpreting deen incorrectly. Like for example, a father is lying on his bed at night, going to sleep, finish namaz, everything, he's lying. He tells his son, Muhammad, bring me water. So what does he want? Why is he asking for water? What does he want to do? What he wants to do? Drink water. So in what will he take water? In what will he give his father water? Glass. Sunday morning, he's standing outside by his car. And his sleeves are also rolled up. And he says, Muhammad, bring me water. What does he want to do now? Wash the car. And in what will the Muhammad take water? Perfect. But the person who wasn't present, and he only sees the word, bring me water. So it's possible when the father was lying on the bed to sleep, he doesn't know he's lying on the bed. He only knows the command, bring me water. It's possible he takes water in a bucket there for the father. When he wants to drink water, he's going to sleep. And when he wants to wash his car, it's possible he takes water in a glass. So to understand this is very, very important. So just that noor came, the Sahaba asked, how will we know? And if they had not asked, and we did not get the explanation from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our Shaykh said, and people who are fair skinned,
whose skin is white, brown, who are fair skin, they would say that because that wood is in the heart, that's why our skin is white. And all the white people of the world will say we got a lot of wood in our heart. Just like a mistake with a glass of water they will make. And people who are dark skin, they will say these people got no wood. So by the question of the Sahaba, this is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this has got nothing to do with your complexion. Whether you got a light skin or you got a dark skin, it has got nothing. The reality of it is that how each one of us can know whether that nur has come into our heart. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the Sahaba asked, فَهَلْ لَهُ مِنْ عَلَامَاتِ Are the signs? It's a spiritual thing. I can say my heart is full with nur. Anyone can say. But now what? How do we know that person is true that he has got nur? Whether he himself is just imagining and dreaming or whether the nur of Allah has come in his heart. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Bala, yes, there are signs of it. The first sign that the nur of Islam has come into the heart. And before we go into that, I'll just mention one other point also, that Islam, we are in Islam, we are Muslims. But the necessity is of bringing Islam into us. We are Islam, we are in Islam. But has Islam come into us? For example, you are admitted in a school. You are admitted, you go to school, but the school life, the uniform, the times to be present, has then come into you. You say, I'm admitted in the school, but you haven't got a uniform of that school. That the school starts at 8 o'clock, you pitching up at 12 o'clock at school. School comes out at 3 o'clock, you moving away at 1 o'clock. You are in the school, you are admitted, but the school life hasn't come into you. So we are in Islam, yes, that's why we are sitting here. We are all Muslims. But has Islam come into us? To give you an example to understand this quite easily, inshallah. Somebody goes for Hajj, Umrah, and for the Imam Sahib, he brings Zamzam water from Makkah Sharif. I give my Imam Sahib a Zamzam water. He brings Khajur cake from Medina Sharif. And now when he comes here, he sends the Zamzam water for Imam Sahib. But he sends it in a beer bottle, wine bottle. And now Imam Sahib, he puts it in his fridge. And if some visitors have to come, they say, what's wrong with Imam Sahib? Wine bottle in Imam Sahib's fridge. But inside is a Zamzam. But the bottle is a wine bottle. So we got Islam in us. But our outward form is that of non-Muslims. It is just like we have put Islam in a wine bottle. We have put Islam into these things. The khajur that he sent. Now the khajur, the cake, he sends it, but he wraps it up in that newspaper, those pages where filthy women advertise themselves. And now somebody sees those pages in Maulana's house. Maulana, what are you doing with all these things here? And you send khajur of Medina, you said. But the wrap you in what you wrapped it is a terrible thing. So you got commands of Allah in your life. You're a Muslim, you got La ilaha illallah. You got Sunnah of Nabi, but you have wrapped it in wine bottles. You have placed it in wine bottles, in beer bottles. You have placed it in those places where the filthy, dirty, as address of the filthy, dirty woman. So this is necessary that we must be in Islam also. And Islam must come into us also. I hope I could explain. I'll explain that. It's understood. You've understood that. It's necessary that we are in Islam. Whether I was a born Muslim or a reverse Muslim, we are in Islam. But now we must bring fully Islam into us. Now for that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that is that nur which comes into the heart. When we bring the Islam into our life. For that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us three signs by which we can know whether we have brought Islam into our life. The first one is at-tajafi anid-daril ghurur, to be separated, to have nothing to do with this world of deception. Dunya is a world of deception. It appears to be very, very tempting. The glitter is glamour. Our life in dunya is just like a bubble of water. A bubble, when light shines on it, it looks beautiful. Purple color, orange color, bright colors, it looks so beautiful. But any moment that bubble just bursts,
and it's finished, end of the story.
Like that, how many people, you know, I also know, our family, our friends, they were at the height of their careers in this world. They were at the height of their profession.
They just passed away. Everything came to an end.
And not only that, for example, we know of cases where a girl got 7, 8 distinctions in matric. One matric ball party, and she became pregnant that time. And the bubble burst now. All the 8, 10 distinctions also gone down with them. Nothing. A boy passes matric with 7, 8 distinctions. That one matric ball party, he becomes a drug addict. And now he's a big burden to his family, to himself, to his family, to the community. Where were there 7 matric people who say, oh, he's going to shine. He was a wonderful machine. What a great boy. What a good boy. But that one night he became the bubble burst and it finished. So these things are happening all the time. Allah Ta'ala declares clearly, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This worldly life, Allah says, the creator, the knower, who knows every detail of this dunya, Allah who has created it, who knows the starting, who knows the end, who knows the surface, who knows the inside, he says this dunya is nothing but mataa. Mataa in Arabic is something to benefit from for a little while. Like for example, you are going to an airport, you go to the lounge, you are benefiting from the lounge for a little while. You know, in an hour's time, I must move, otherwise the gate will close, I won't catch my flight. In 1 hour, 2 hours, you're waiting at the airport, you are in transit. So while you are there, you are benefiting. If you are in the VIP lounge, you're getting free coffee, tea, ice cream, cold drink, but just for a little while. So that is just so this dunya is just to benefit for a little while. We thinking our 60, 70 years of life is a long time. It is less than the wink of an eye. If a person compares a person's lifespan of 60, 70 years to one day of the akhirah, it's not even 2 minutes we are here. But this 2 minutes looks long to us. And why? If I give you this example, you are in a hurry, you want to come for Jamaat. You got a little bit delayed. Now the robot, the traffic light is red. You are thinking it's faulty, it's not changing. Because you're in a hurry, you think it's only for 45 seconds. 30 seconds is red. But because you're in a hurry, you think, oh, it's not, why will it be changing? And you just want to move. This happens many times. When it looks to the speed limit is 60, but you're in a hurry, 60 sounds so slow to you. And until you're not going at 80 and 100, then only you feel speed. So just like that, we see in the aeroplane when we set, when the aeroplane is on the runway and is going to take off, it goes to a speed of around about 300 kilometers per hour. But at that time, even the air hostesses, the host, they're not allowed to walk around also. They also have to sit down and buckle themselves. And it's because when you feel the speed, at 300, before the aeroplane takes off, what the speed it is. But once it's up in the air, then it goes to a speed of about 900 kilometers per hour. But then you don't feel the speed. There, they are serving food, you are going to toilet, you are walking around, you don't feel the speed. Just like that, in this worldly life, we are moving at a very high speed. But we are not feeling it. The higher the speed and the safer the conditions, you know, the earth is rotating all the time. We are moving with the earth all the time. It's moving in its orbit, it's moving in on its axis all the time. Otherwise, you won't get day and night. Otherwise, you won't get summer and winter. It is moving all the time. And we are moving to our qabr all the time. Every moment that we are living, our life is becoming less. You think we fooled ourselves by age. Now I was 50 years old, now I'm 55. Actually, our age, life is becoming lesser. If our lifespan Allah has given us for 60 years, now we've got 5 years left. Now we've got 2 years left, it's becoming less. Mawlana Abdul Hay Arifi Rahmatullah, very great Buzur, he said a very beautiful poem with regard to this. He says, Qadam Sur and Marta, we are walking towards the Qadam all the time. As we are sitting there, we are walking towards the Qadam. We are sleeping, we are moving to the Qadam, we are going closer to our time of death. Qadam Sur and Marta, never through a dunya, but our eyes are looking at dunya all the time. That what is the dunya? What is going at the best we are looking? Then you imagine that driver who is driving at a fantastic speed, 180 kilometers per hour. And he's not looking in front, he's looking at the back. One time, Hazrat Maulana Imam al-Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was going to Heathrow Airport in London. The driver had this habit of his, like some people got a habit. He was looking around all the time as he was driving. So Hazrat asked him just to pull up on the side for a little while. He pulled up, then Hazrat told him, as much as you want to look around, but when you drive, just look on the road. Don't look around. That's a very dangerous driver. That the person is looking this side, very dangerous side. And if it is that driver who is driving at that speed and is looking at the back, and not only in the rear view mirror, not only a slight glance, but if it was possible and it could turn his head 180 degrees and is looking and is speeding, like this is happening. We know our children, wherever we go visiting somewhere, some visitors come to our house, there are 2-3 small children, we got 1-2 small children. Immediately one children, it's an international game, changing game. They change one another, running after one another and changing. And when they are changing, they're running at speed. And many times they are looking at the back if it's coming to, if it's catching me or not, and they bump into the wall. And a hard bang you hear on the wall, on the door, or 2 children, the head bent. This happens very commonly. Children are playing a changing game and they are banging their head. We are grown up. As the poet says, wo hum bachpan ko pahunche, we are 55, lekin abhi hamara bachpan nahi gaya. Our childhood is not gone. We are also just like children. We are also changing the dunya. And we are also banging our head somewhere here. And sometimes we are banging it there. And then we have got problems. Now, our interest in a different form. Nice the court case, nice family feud, and fights, etc. But it was all changing the dunya. That we are changing the dunya. And a person who changes the dunya is a person who is changing something that's going behind him. And nobody in the world will be so stupid to change something which is going behind him. So anyway, one time, Behlul was a person was regarded as a mazur, like a mad person, but he was mad in the love of Allah Ta'ala. And dunya people call such people mad people. One time one person went to a town and he asked that he asked outside the town directions, which how do you get to the town? So one person, like this mad person, he showed him the road to the Qabristan. So he said that, but you showing the town, I want to town, I want Qabristan, I want to go where the dead people. He said that is the town. Yeah, people are just getting transported. Where they are actually living is in the Qabristan. All are going to the Qabristan. They're not living there. That is dead empty. And how many places have become empty in the world like this? Many, many specific. For example, Zanzibar. One time it was such a center of Africa. It was a commercial hub. It was a political hub of the whole of East Africa. Today Zanzibar is like an empty little place, like nothing is there. Like that, how many places in the world this happens all the time? So the place that is getting inhabited is the Qabristan. That is the real place where people are going to live. So Behlul, one time, he was a very close friend and he lived in the time of Harun al-Rashid, the great king. So they were close together. And because he had also more concern of Asherah, of need, and dunya people regard such people as mad people. So he told Behlul, Behlul, you are a very stupid person. You were very intimate with one another, very informal, and I'm giving you this my walking stick. And I want you to give it to somebody who you find who is more stupid than you also. So he went with it. After some time, he heard that he is ill. He's terminally ill. He's on his dying bed, so he came and visited him. They were friends. So the king asked him, Behlul, if you give that stick to somebody, he said, no, I haven't found somebody who is more stupid. He said, but king, you are so ill. And he asked the king that while you are healthy, hale and healthy, you should go and check the whole country, all the different provinces, states, to see everything is running correctly. He said, yes, I used to go. He said, before you went, should you make arrangements for your accommodation, for your whole entourage, for your everything. It is proper arrangement. Military, security, intelligence, all the arrangements we should make. So he said, have you made any arrangements for your cover, for your security there, the intelligence? He said, but Lord, I told you, you are so stupid. Who can make arrangements for that? So he told them, oh king, I didn't find anyone more stupid than you. I'm giving the stick back to you. That where you are going permanently, you make no preparation. Where you wish to go temporarily to spend the night, you make so much preparation. You're going for a holiday for a week, you make so much of preparation. But when you are going permanently, you make no preparation. So I find you to be the most stupid person, yes, you speak better. So this is our condition, preference. And on that point, we were here in Katima Muliru in Namibia. Our host was building a musalla in a location, so he took us for dua. So when we went there, in the location, and this we have seen many times, but this time it struck me. It was about 11 o'clock in the day, and there were people who were sitting relaxing under the tree, sitting on the chair, relaxing, etc. So the thought came to me, people who are in dunya, they work the whole year to get 1 week's holiday. And in that 1 week, they have a 10 o'clock breakfast, and then they relax outside, sitting under the tree. The people in the locations, every day they are relaxed. We have to work a whole year to relax for 1 week. They are relaxing all the time. Then I saw also that these people, they are living in huts. When a person works the whole year so hard, no time for anything, and he now hooks in for shedding, some huts to go and stay in. For 1 week in the year, he worked so hard to go and stay in the hut. These people are staying all the time in huts. So who is more comfortable, who is more peaceful, who is more clever? Then we have a dry now and then. They are making dry everything. Eh? We have a pointy pot. We prepare some food in an aluminium pot. They are eating every day all day. So those people are living a much more peaceful life for what we work the whole year and with difficulty. And for that 1 week holiday, we stress ourselves, making the booking, finishing up this, rushing with this. How many people in that rush never ever come back home again? They gone to the Kabristan. How many holiday makers are gone to the Kabristan? They don't come back home again. All the stress. And at the end of the day, which perhaps comes on everyone's time, after your 1-2 weeks holiday, when you come home, I'm tired. I need another holiday to recover from the holiday. So this is our state. And these people are living here like that. So anyway, the first sign that the nur of Islam has come in the heart is that you are disinclined to dunya. You are still deep to dunya, you will work, but your heart won't be. As one Buddha said so beautifully, dast baka, your hands are doing your work, whatever you are working. Dil bala, but your heart is with Allah Ta'ala. One person went for Hajj, and he saw one person at the Multazam, the place between Hajar al-Aswad and the door of Kaaba, which is famous where du'as are accepted very readily. And he saw that person cry, and his hand is on the Kaaba, his body is against the Kaaba. But he was a great Muslim. He put attention on his heart to see the condition of his heart. He saw he's got no attention with Kaaba Sharif. No attention with that, it's a show. All the tears to show people he's a big Muslim. He came with his murid or whoever, and he showed them I'm a very big Muslim. From there he went to the bazaars of Makkah Sharif, to the shopping places. And he saw a person that is really selling, and he's got 10 customers he's handling at one time. That one is seeing the goods, this one is taking money, that one is giving change, and this one is exchanging some goods, 10 customers is handling. How busy isn't he? He cast his eyes on his heart, and he saw not for one moment is he unmindful of Allah. Outwardly it looks like he's in dunya, such a dunya, our person, but his connection is with Allah. So that is important. Many of us, we have an outward picture of we are very fine. We are totally here, kurta. But our heart is not with Allah. And there are some people that they don't look so pious, but they are connected with Allah. That is what is important. So anyway, the first sign that the nur of Islam is coming to the heart, that astajati anidari guru, we are not deceived by this worldly life. We will see to our needs and necessities, we will see, but we won't put our heart into it. The second sign, وَالْإِنَابَةُ إِلَىٰ دَعْرِ الْخُلُوبِ, and your heart turns to the eternal life. In your heart yearns for the time you can come to the masjid, make your namaz, to get up for your tahajjud, to make your tilawat, to make your dua, the things of akhirat. That is a sign that Islam is coming in. If these things are not there, it's a sign Islam hasn't still come in your heart. No matter you can have outward sunnah, everything, and no matter you can have big titles of Maulana and Hafiz and Qari Sahib and Haji Sahib and Muballigh Sahib and Sufi Sahib, these titles don't mean anything. The reality which is inside, that is what counts, Dr. Bhaskar. We mustn't be fooled by our outward appearance. We have to be according to Sharia and Sunnah. But don't be fooled. And this Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali explained so beautifully. Nek banna farz. To become pious is farz. Apne aap ko nek samajna haram. But to think I'm pious, this is haram. To become nek, to become pious is farz. But to think I'm pious, this is totally haram. The minute a person thinks he's pious, he falls. An easy example to understand is, you take a tennis ball, any ball, and you throw it up in the air. With how much force you throw it, according to the weight of the ball, it's going up, 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 up. But at a certain point, it stops going up. And it doesn't stay in the air. From there, it comes faster down than what it went up. Just like that, if a person is making progress spiritually, he's going up. And if he thinks, now I'm pious, now I'm a big buzur, then immediately he falls down, further down than what he went up also. And some Welsh people wrote to Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali. They said, one person in our village, he was very pious, he used to come for namaz, everything. And now he says, I'm an abdal, a great buzur, like Qutub, abdal, host, or people, buzurs of the higher ranking, highest ranking. So he said, I'm an abdal. So Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali was Maulana Thani. He said, ye aadmi pehle ghosh tha, abdal ho gaya. He was first ghosh and now he became dal. Dal, lentil. Right? So mark dal, you have mung dal, all the time. First he was meat, now when he was going for namaz, he was meat. Now he became dal. In other words, he has completely lost his value, thinking I'm somebody very great. So the second sign is, was inabatu ila dal il kudur, that your preparation is for akhirat. You are changing, have I my namaz? Have I got qaza'i umri? I'm going to be answerable in the qabr. Are my financial matters sorted out? When I die, what will people, are my matters clear? Will they know exactly what is happening? All your matters, you have fights with people, you will sort it out. Please make me maaf or whatever. Your financial, you are owing people money. People are owing you. It mustn't be just in your mind. It must be written down, everything, preparation. Well, istidad lil maut qabla nuzulihi. And the third sign that the nur of Islam is coming to a person, you are prepared for maut before it comes. And if you are going for umrah, for hajj, and all your preparations are made, your tickets are booked, your hotels are booked, and everything is done, you look forward to your journey. Hey, the day you have to go, as the day is coming nearer, you get in happy also. Your bags are packed also. Everything is done. One, two things come to mind, you check up. Did I take this? Did I put my medicine? Did I take my cream? Did I what I need? Have I done all those things? You are ready for your day. And the time you go, you have to leave 3 o'clock from home. Already 2:30 you are ready. You are taking your bags and putting, you are ready. So you are ready for this journey. And one key is the intelligence of the country come to your house 12 o'clock at night and they pick you up and they don't tell your wife where we take you. Or they take you in such a way you hardly know that nobody knows that they pick you up. You just stepped out of your shop and there they put you in the car and there they have taken you. Where are they taking you? What they're going to do with you? You don't know. How is that? How you feel at that time? One is you prepare for your journey. And one is suddenly, the housekeeper, just like that, maut comes to a person. A person who is prepared for his maut. Even the housekeeper expect it now. That he's going to, he's preparing. You can see he's on his way, he is prepared. And he's going and he goes happily. How many people at the time of maut, they burst out in a laughter. Enjoyment, what they see, they hold. Allah says that. I mentioned this one incident. When the ulama of yoga, were fighting the British in India, because the British had this evil agenda of making the whole of India Christian. The Muslims, the Hindus, they wanted to make it a whole Christian country. So Allah sent this and they fought them tooth and nail. In one of the battles, when they were fighting, then many of the ulama became shaheed in that battle also. One Ali who did not become shaheed, it was noticed all the time, wherever he was living, he was lifting his left like that, all the time. So somebody asked him, why are you became that battle? Those of us who were going to become shaheed, how did the mosque in Qur al-Eid of Jannah came to take them? And the goblet of wine of Jannah, the wonderful drinks of Jannah. And whoever was becoming shaheed, he still wasn't shaheed, he was still living. And he saw this beautiful Qur al-Eid, and with this wonderful drink of Jannah, and she put it to his lips and he was drinking. One of them could put it to my lips also. Then the other Qur al-Eid shouted and said, he's not among them, he's not becoming shaheed today. But that one drop that touched my lips or my tongue, the enjoyment I get still today was released. I lick my lips and I get that enjoyment. So from that one little drop you get so much, those who are drinking the whole glass. And that Qur al-Eid is giving you to drink, what enjoyment. So a person who's prepared for more, he goes with enjoyment. He doesn't fear. He hasn't got any. One of the signs that your iman is intact, you are eager to go and meet Allah. And if you are fearing to meet Allah and you don't want to die, that is a sign that is not a good sign. That's the sign the Quran challenges the Jews about in the Quran. That if you love Allah and you are true, then desire more. Today we are frightened for the word more, we are frightened. One king, he disliked more to such an extent that he made a law in his kingdom that you must, nobody must use the word more there. And if someone did die, you must use the word birth. You must say he's born. Because at birth, everyone is happy. For death, people are very sad. So this was the law. On one time, he had to go somewhere, and he had his acting king, the other president, to put him in his place. He didn't know about that. So one person whose father passed away, he came to the king, and he told him that my father is born. I need permission to go to the house for the funeral for you. He started, he was shocked. He said, your father is born now. How can you be, how can your father be born after you? But he was leaving my father's life. And he couldn't, he said, please, king, I have to go, I'm desperate. My father is born. And he started laughing and making a big, he said, king, if you carry on in this way, just now my mother will also be born. In other words, she will also die. So much people are frightened for the word more. Whereas for a mu'min, a mu'min. Maut is a gift for a believer. Because now he relieves of all the worries of this dunya. No more worries of anything when he goes into. So the third sign that a person, the nur of Islam is coming in the heart, is that, well, istidat min maut qabla nuzuli, you are prepared for maut. Now if this is not in us, if we don't find first that we are this inclined to dunya, we don't enjoy our heart, no more sports we are enjoying, no more porn we are watching, no more music we are interested in, business we are doing, but not our heart is in, as a necessity we are doing. Like a person goes to toilet, not because he enjoys going to toilet, but it's a necessity, he has to go to toilet. And the toilet, as the Mufti Mahmud Sahib used to say, is that jail for which there is no bail. If you have to go to jail, you can keep bail. But the toilet is that jail, no bail. And that in the toilet also, you can't put a locum there. You can't tell your wife, I've got no time, please you go to toilet for me. No matter how busy you are, no matter what your position is, you are missing your flight, but if that call has come to toilet, you've got no choice. Otherwise, you're going to mess the whole plane also, you're going to mess your clothes also, you have to go. And the amount of time that you are imprisoned in jail, in the toilet, that is not in the hands of you, not in the hands of the judge, 6 months imprisonment, 10 years imprisonment, that depends on your style. Sometimes you came ready for prison, you make your sunnah at home. And as you put your one leg out of the door, there your stomach made guru, guru, guru. Now you have to go back to toilet again. And sometimes you finish properly, istinja, you're just about to get up, again it pulls you down. And again the whole series starts again. And as long as it keeps you there, sometimes your Fajr Namaz also goes. Your Jamaat goes, you are detained. So that is a jail for which there is no jail also. And you have to stay there. So anyway, this dunya's life, to see whether we are quite at loose, see whether we are disinclined to dunya. Secondly, whether our hearts are inclining to akhirah. We are worried, how will my mosque come? And we are making dua, ya Nabi, a good mosque. And you are worried of that life. Otherwise, generally, we don't even think about our mosque. We don't think about qabr. We don't think about akhirah. For a Muslim, these things must be pride, there in front of you all the time. And we must be prepared to die before that. Before we die, we must be prepared to die. That person lives a peaceful life. And if this is not the case, then the Quran gives the solution to it also. فَمَنْ شَرَحُ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورِهِ رَبِّهِ. And this, if it's not, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The reason for that is the hearts are hard because they are not making the zikr of Allah. The zikr of Allah, they work like the plow on the land. If you want to plant crops and you put your seeds, first plow your land. You can't say that I'm missing the sea, rain season, and you just throw your seeds on top of the ground. And you didn't soften the ground. First, it is necessary to soften the heart. Then these talks what I'm giving, Quran we read, etc., bayans we hear, jumatan, it can only have an effect on our heart if the heart we have softened. And the heart becomes softened, the plow of the softening of the heart is the zikr of Allah. So therefore Allah says, if you are not making zikr, your heart is hard. And the brittle heart, nothing goes into that heart. If it is soft, then the words that are spoken, Quran you are reading, your daily life, in your shop, in your business, everywhere, you'll see lessons and you'll take lessons, but that is if the heart is soft. If it's not soft, you don't, your wife can die, your mother died, your father died in the house, it will make no difference. You'll be talking about sports. You'll be preparing to go for a holiday. It has no effect on you. Then the heart, and the softening of the heart is the zikr of Allah. For why don't you fast here to qulubuhum min zikr Allah? And for this people, Allah, for these Allah said, ulaika fi dhalalin mubin. And to make your heart inclined towards zikr, Allah has given that solution also. Allahu nazzala ahsana al-hadith, kitaban mutashabihan matani. تقشعر منه جلود الذين يخشون ربهم ثم تلين جلودهم وقلوبهم الى ذكر الله. That is the Quran. Recite the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif will make your heart soft. The Quran Sharif will make your skin soft. And then you will see you will move towards the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And this is where a person will get hidayah. Now, so the starting point is tilawat of Quran Sharif. By that you will go to Zikrullah. By that now, the lure of Allah will come into your heart. And your dunya will be made. Don't think you'll be deprived of dunya. Wallah, what dunya you are having now, Allah will give you much more superior dunya. And you will enjoy your dunya. Today, we are having everything of dunya, but with anxiety, worry, depression. What's going to happen all the time? Allah will give you dunya with peace of mind, contentment of heart. If that nur of Allah comes into the heart, that person is a king. He looks like a king. So Allah Ta'ala is so the procedure of it is make it out of Quran Sharif regularly. So all of us, if we can promise to ourselves to Allah that from tonight or the latest from tomorrow, every day I'm going to read Quran. Whether it is one page, whether it is one ruku, whatever amount it is, but Quran Sharif I'm going to read. And then try and make contact with a sheikh, a spiritual doctor, which we spoke of at Jummah time also, and let him guide you towards the correct zikr, and how to make the zikr also. One great person, Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahib al-Zub, rahmatullahi alayhi, asked Maulana Thani, rahmatullahi alayhi, that zikr will do all your work, then why do you need a sheikh? Maulana Thani, rahmatullahi alayhi, was what a great person, what a beautiful answer, he said, Khaja Sahib, the grapes on the table. The knife is there. What's going to cut the grape? The knife. But the knife is going to get up on itself and cut the blade, or the knife will have to be in somebody's hand. Until the knife is not in somebody's hand, it won't cut the blade. So the zikr will do make your heart soft. But the zikr will have to be supervised and controlled by the chef. He is that hand in whose hand the zikr is, then it's going to work on your heart properly. So if we will do this procedure, then our heart will become soft. Then the nur of Allah will come. And then wallah, I guarantee you, you will live a better life than what we are living. Whether it is from a deen point of view, from a dunya point of view, and your akhirah will also be made eternally. For this, a person should try and make contact with a share of tariqah and then get guidance from it and be guided towards this. And if not, then the next ayat which I discussed at the beginning, compare this person here who has the nur of Islam, the nur of Allah in his heart, with that person who didn't have that nur and he goes in the fire of Jahannam. His hands are passing behind his back. And the azab is coming from him from all four sides. And he tries to save himself and he can't. With his face he's trying to save himself. He can't save himself. So the correct thing is, if we have got pity on ourselves, not even on your wife or your children, at least pity yourself, then make this effort to get this nur of Allah in the heart. And the procedure of it is, start with Quran Sharif tilawat. Make the zikr of Allah. Plow the heart, it will become soft. Then you will take lesson from everything, and then you will still do dunya's work, but your heart will be. And you will do akhirah's work, and your heart will be in akhirah's work. In your namaz, your heart will be there. When you read in Quran, your heart will be there. Everything, and you will be ready for maut. When maut comes, marhaba. You will say, maut, I'm waiting for you. How, where will you all understand? I'm waiting for you to go and to meet my Allah, because all the enjoyment is by Allah. May Allah give us topic, inshallah. Tomorrow there will be a ladies program in afternoon. Where will it be? Ladies from 3 o'clock? Yes. And then at night there will be a program after Maghrib? So inshallah, try and attend the programs there also, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Oh Allah, accept what has been said and what has been heard. Oh Allah, make it a reality in our life. Oh Allah, the tawfiq to practice upon it is also only from you. Please, we beg of you, Allah, give us the ability, the tawfiq, the keenness to practice upon deen. Let the deen become a reality in our life. As we have made dunya, which is not a reality, but we have made it a reality. And after a deen, which is really a reality, but which is not in our life, bring it into our life. Open the blind eyes of our hearts, O Allah. Open the deaf ears of our hearts, O Allah. O Allah, let us understand the value of sunnah, and let us practice upon sunnah. O Allah, whenever we drink water, let us think of the sunnah, and let us practice upon those sunnah. O Allah, open our hearts for the nur of Islam, and for your nur, O Allah. O Allah, let us understand this dunya is just a deception. It is an open dhoka and deception. And O Allah, let us prepare for our eternal life of akhirat, O Allah. O Allah, we have got no doubt we are going to die. Let us be prepared for maut. Whenever our maut comes, let us go in such a way that we were fully prepared for it. For that, O Allah, make our heart soft. And for to make our heart soft, O Allah, let us incline towards the recitation of the Quran Sharif. And for that, let us incline towards the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And for that, O Allah, let us learn how to pass or how to tread this path under the guidance and under the shadow of some share who knows this path and who can lead us. Guide us towards this righteousness, O Allah. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.